see that easily that instead of any compact subsets, you can consider only sequences of points converging to zero, so such kind of subsets. And so they proved the result for some specific type of sequences. So if we consider a sequence and H infinity going to zero, and such that H xn less or equal than 1 or 1 n, then for for such kind of sequences, they constructed linear operator of bounded norm satisfying the required property. Unfortunately, in the next almost 30 years, it was no progress in this problem. And maybe at the end I will mention some equivalent reformulation of the problem that was obtained in my paper last year. But actually, I was thinking about this problem. Maybe you want to ask a question? For 3 years, and I decided also to consider some other spaces of analytic functions for which, as I thought, the answer will be much easier. In particular, one can consider pre-dual spaces to H infinity spaces. I will describe it later. But first of all, just a little bit more about history. So the first example of a Banach space without approximation property was constructed by Enflot in 1973. Since Enflot work, several other examples of such spaces were constructed. In particular, it was proved that if we'll consider Hilbert space L2, and we'll consider space of bounded linear operators on the Hilbert space, this space also doesn't have an approximation property. This result by Shankovsky. Oh, don't remember what is the year, but probably in the 70s too. Okay, so now we'll just introduce some quantitative characteristic of the approximation property, and we'll say that the Banach space has a lambda approximation property if the approximated finite rank operators has norm less than or equal to lambda. And we'll say that it has a bounded approximation property if it has an approximation property for some lambda. If lambda equals 1, we say that the Banach space has the metric approximation property. Now, as I told you, that if a Banach space has a basis, then it has a bounded approximation property. But in 1971, Figel and Johnson proved that the approximation property does not imply the bounded approximation property, and they used some result of Lindenstrauss just in their construction. The paper is very short, so 3 pages, but inside there is some construction of Lindenstrauss. So, in fact, you see that it's two different properties. Bounded approximation property is indeed much stronger than approximation property. So approximately the same time, it was established by Bilczynski that a separable Banach space has a bounded approximation property if and only if it is isomorphic to a complemented subspace of a separable Banach space with a basis. Okay, so now just why this property actually is just important. One of the reasons is the following result of Grothendieck, which allows to describe dual spaces of some spaces of operators. So if we consider two Banach spaces and we'll consider F capital will be from X to Y, we'll denote the space of linear bound the traders of finite rank. And we'll consider the trace mapping from the projective tensor product Y tilde X to FXY, so trace mapping, so the formula is over there. Of course it is easy to see that normal the trace mapping less than or equal than 1. But if actually it was essentially due to Grothendieck, if the space has the lambda bounded approximation property, then the image of the space is closed subspace. And the inverse map from the image has norm less or equal than lambda. Okay? Okay. What is this? I'm not doing the right thing, sorry. Yeah, no, so I will describe the result. So we are in the setting of complex analysis now. So consider a finite dimensional Kratzer-Dorian hyperboloid complex manifold. So this is the same as to say that H infinity separates points. By G infinity M, we denote the geometric predual to H infinity M. So I was taking this symbol from the paper of Mojica. He introduced it first. So therefore, I decided to follow his notation. So by the definition, G infinity M is the closed linear span in the dual to H infinity M of the family of delta functionals of points in M. And moreover, it's just not difficult to prove the following result. So the dual to G infinity M indeed will be H infinity M, and any other complex Banach space dual to H infinity M is isometrically isomorphic to G infinity M. Next, the closed unit ball in G infinity M will be just the closed convex hull of delta functionals times points of norm 1, numbers of norm 1, of modulus 1. Next, the injective map, which sends each point of M into its delta functional, is holomorphic, and the range of this map will be in the unit sphere of G infinity M. And moreover, so if we have just another complex Banach space, and we'll consider the space of bounded functions from M to Y, Banach-Weyl functions, analytic Banach-Weyl functions, agree with this supreme norm, then the map from G infinity M to Y defined as the composition of embedded map delta and T, roughly speaking, it's just a restriction of any operator to the image of M. So it will be an isometry of complex Banach spaces. Okay, so just I will mention some other realizations of spaces predual to H infinity M. For instance, if M is a bounded domain, then the predual space is isometrically isomorphic to the quotient of L1M or the space orthogonal H infinity M. This means so we consider in L1 all elements which can be roughly speaking orthogonal to elements of H infinity. Yeah? So L1M here is defined with respect to the measurement here. Now, in the case of unit ball, so we can do the same construction, but we can consider only L1 on the unit sphere, so just on the boundary values, and we'll do the same. For instance, in the classical case of H infinity, so H infinity on the disk, predual space will be in the classical situation will be L1 or H. Okay.
property as a space of H1 functions which equal 0, 0, analytic H1 functions which equal 0, 0.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you look at the fourth line from there, L1M is defined with respect to the latex measure, but M is not CM. It's not necessarily CM.
Okay.
L1M is defined with respect to the latex measure on CM.
Yeah.
But M, it has to be a measure on M.
Bound at the measure.
Ah, oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Okay, so this kind of Weak star compactment theorem, they're just very simple. So just I show you this to illustrate the structure of the pre-dual space. Okay, now so the first result that I will formulate. So consider a star-like domain in CN and assume that it admits an exhaustion by subdomains such that each of omega e is open and its closure is polynomially convex. This means that if we take Z outside the closure, then there is a holomorphic polynomial such that modulus of this polynomial is strictly more than maximum of modulus on this set. The first example of this set will be, of course, any convex set. Any convex set, but of course there are many other examples. Okay, now first result. G infinity in this equation has a metric approximation property, and moreover, so I decided also to consider some kind of dual version. So if we consider the Banach space A omega, this is the space of holomorphic functions continuous on the boundary, then it has also the metric approximation property. I will tell you about why it is true just maybe a little bit later. The reason is very simple. Okay, and the second result that can be obtained using this result. So consider now a more general situation. Consider a complex manifold which... consider a Stein manifold, sorry. If anybody doesn't like Stein manifold, you can consider strictly pseudo-convex domain, for instance. CN. Then inside of this Stein manifold, we consider strongly pseudo-convex domain with C2 boundary. So what does mean? This means that actually the domain is defined by the set of negative values of a plurisubharmonic function, C2 plurisubharmonic function. And so this function is, the boundary is a smooth manifold with respect to this function. Okay. So here just, some artificial things, because I know how to prove the more general stuff, so therefore I prove the more general theorem. So actually we consider any unbranched covering of this manifold. The covering, so just explain just in a simple way. So if you have a circle, then the covering will be a spiral. Yeah, and here you can imagine like you have a bounded domain and you'll be just gluing kind of spiral. So I proved in one of my earliest papers that people consider H infinity on this covering that still it's great points. Okay, and now theorem two. There is some constant lambda which depends only on the base, such that G infinity of the covering has lambda approximation property. Now, the second one for A, unfortunately, I can just formulate only for the base, because, so you need just to tell what does mean A on the infinite covering, because, so it's infinite. There are several ways how to do that, but I will not give you details now. So, just for the base, if we consider holomorphic functions continuous on the boundary, then this base also has the approximation property, the bounded approximation property. Okay, so probably I will tell you several words about the construction, how can we do it.
No, first of all, sorry.
So it's just a simple corollary using some kind of simple plane with tensor products. Yeah, so suppose we have just two transferred-doric hyperbolic complex manifolds, and one of them, for one of them, G infinity has lambda approximation property. Now consider G infinity on the product of these two manifolds. Then G infinity in this case will be just isomorphic to projective tensor product of G infinity M and G infinity M. In case if lambda equals 1, if the space has metric approximation property, then it will be isometric. So the simplest way, so for instance, consider just disk and disk. You want to understand what does mean pre-dual space on the polydisk. See, on the polydisk it will be just projective tensor product of pre-duals on the disk, and I just recall you that projective tensor product is just the strongest possible tensor product, so it will just take series and take norm in the series of each component, so it's kind of nice. Okay, now the second one is, so, and the one of Mother distance between these places is bounded by lambda. Banach Mother, I recall you, so if you have two isomorphic Banach spaces, we'll consider just infimum of norm of isomorphism times norm of inverse isomorphism, infimum over all these isomorphisms. So, and in this case it will be bounded by lambda. Now, in addition, if you know that the second component also has a mu approximation property, then G infinity of the product has lambda times mu times minimum lambda mu approximation property. And the same, the second statement is much easier because it follows already from some results of Grossman. So, if you have the same MN and consider just function holomorphic on the product and continuous on the bound, product of boundaries. Therefore, in this case, this will be just injective tensor product. So injective tensor product, it is the weakest tensor product of two spaces. So in this case, we just take the norm from components. So if we have just F product with G, then we apply just linear functional to F, linear another linear functional to G, and take supremum over this, like that. And if in addition AM has the new approximation property, then the same is true for the product. Okay, so and just the corollary, of course, is just we can do the same, take star-like domains or just infinite coverings of strongly pseudo-convex domains, take their product, and still we obtain just bounded approximation property for G infinity and for A. Now, I would like to describe you the method of the proof. So some remarks. So, because G infinity and A spaces are separable, then according to Kuczynski result, the isomorphic to complemented subspaces of separable Banach spaces is basis. And the Banach Mother distance between them and the isomorphic copies, bounded by 4, it follows from the proof of Kuczynski in the case of star-like domains, and bounded by some constant which depends only on omega in the second case for strongly pseudo-convex domains. Now, I was thinking for a while about the following problem, whether G infinity and A spaces of theorems 1 and 2 have basis. Don't think about this general setting, so consider only in this case, can you say that this space has a basis? Even in this case, I was trying to use construction of Bochkarev. He proved in 1974 that in AD there is a basis. It was a question of Banach posed in the 30s, and he answered. So how did he do that? So, you know, of course, what is a Haar system, yeah? So take Haar system. Now, if you just take first integral of the Haar system, this new system is called Schauder system. Now take the Gram-Schmidt, apply the Gram-Schmidt method to Schauder system. This new system is called Franklin system. Take this Franklin system, it's just a real function on the interval negative pi pi, and then just take make even functions from this Franklin system, so f plus f x on one side, f negative x on another side, and then take just conjugate functions to these new functions, construct with this conjugate functions analytic functions, so real part plus I imaginary part, so real part is just Franklin function plus I conjugate function, you obtain some system. This system will be just inside AD, and he proves that it is a basis. He proves that it is a basis, so maybe, so I was trying, but I didn't see. Maybe the same type of basis one can construct in this space. So just one more word about this space. There is some good injective linear map of this space into the weak Marcinkiewicz space, the space of measures. So maybe you can try to do that. I don't know. So, so how? Because you know you're taking L1, yeah? You take a conjugate function to each L1, then it will be in the weak L1 space, in the weak L1 space, and so together it will be just still analytic function in weak L1 space. So here is the idea of what is this injective map. So maybe you can use this construction to try to do that. Okay, another problem. So another problem is just to try to understand what kind of domains you can take here for which still G infinity omega and A omega will have bounded approximation property. I formulated in a different way. So are there some domains for which it is not true? Definitely, if you just have any bounded domains, then you can just consider extension domain for this domain. This means it will be domain in which you can extend on all holomorphic functions. So therefore, G infinity for this and G infinity for this extension domain will be the same. Will be the same. But where, here, in fact, you need just to take not only extension domain, you need just to consider H infinity extension domain. So this means that you consider all bounded functions, holomorphic functions that can be extended. And the question, roughly speaking, can be still can be reduced to the case of pseudo-convex domains. You have a pseudo-convex domain. Is it possible that some of these domains, for some of these domains, G infinity does not have a bounded approximation? Very fast. So method. Not now. So first of all, for star-like domains. Star-like domains are just very simple, you know. So why? Because we have some fixed point in the domain such that dilation by lambda with norm lambda less than one still will be just the point will be in the same domain. So this means that it maps this domain inside of the same domain so that the image will be relatively compact. This map, naturally, according to basic theorem about construction of pre-dual space, this maps, map naturally induces compact linear operator of G infinity omega to itself of norm one, of norm one. And then the idea is just to approximate this operator. But this can be done because, you know, the second condition was about polynomial convexity of some exhaustion, and therefore using the Weyl interpolation for the Weyl approximation formula for Weyl polyhedrons with the values in the Banach space. So, analog of Cauchy formula on the polydisc.
how you present analytic function using the boundary values. The same formula there is in complex multidimensional complex analysis, integration over some analytic polyhedron. But you can integrate it also with the values in the Banach space, and still it will be the same estimate. And so you can approximate it, so you obtain a metric approximation property in this case. What can we do in the case of strongly pseudo-convex domains? Well, in the case of strongly pseudo-convex domains, we know using the classical Narasimhan lemma that locally at each point we can just find some biholomorphic maps such that so the part of boundary together some interior around this point will be just convex domain. So we would like just for convex domains we know, and we would like just to glue together all these domains just to obtain the result. And here's the method. So here I explain the method. I call it decomposition of GKB spaces. So suppose we have a Terzadori hyperbolic complex manifold and consider finite open cover. Now each embedding of the part of the cover inside the manifold induces linear bounded map G infinity and K to G infinity L of norm 1. Now consider the direct sum of GK and K, that is point of the cover. So norm here will be just one norm of the sum. And consider a bounded linear operator from the direct sum inside of GM, defined roughly speaking. We are taking just for each component, we'll be just embedding inside and take sum. So we say that G infinity is decomposable with respect to this part if actually this operator I is left invertible or right invertible. Right invertible, yeah? Right invertible. So what does it mean? This means that this operator pi is surjective. Yes, pi still recover. And G infinity M is isomorphic to a complemented subspace of G infinity MK. Now imagine, now for the base, for instance, we have the strong pseudo-convex domain. We know that each part we can decompose it as a union of subsets by holomorphic to convex domain. And the only thing that we need just to prove that it is decomposable. Therefore, then it will be complemented in the product of this domain, but each has a metric approximation property, and therefore this will have bounded approximation property. Now, what is the obstacle to do that? The obstacle is as follows. Of course, locally, we can just find this inverse map, right? Because namely, so I just take back each part back to itself in the product. If you have m components, so the part mk will go just to k part. Now, let us form a cycle. Take sk minus mk. Then on the intersection, we obtain just an holomorphic function with values in the kernel of this map, right? Why it is in the kernel? Because, so visions should glue together below, and therefore it will be just in the kernel. Now we say that the cycle is H infinity trivial if actually we can resolve it using H infinity functions. Okay? And now a simple result that G infinity M is decomposable with respect to G infinity M1 and M, if and only if the cycle is H infinity trivial. And what I'm doing, I'm just proving that, for instance, for the base domain, for strongly pseudo convex domain, this cycle is H infinity trivial. Can you have anything there?
Yeah, here it is.
So even for unbranched covering of strong pseudo convex domain, we can do the same. So there is some open cover such that G infinity is decomposable with respect to elements of the cover. I explained to you what kind of cover we can see. So on the base, we consider, according to Narasimhan's lemma, the cover by sets by holomorphic open sets, and then just take three images of them, and it will be our cover. So this is what we are doing. Now, how to prove a decomposition of H infinity triviality of this cocycle? There is only one method in analysis. We just take partition of unity, and now resolve it just in C infinity case, and take the bar. We obtain the bar equation with values in the Banach space curve. With values in the Banach space. In the Banach space curve. The bar equation with Banach values. Okay. What is good here, that this equation is bounded even on the closure of this domain. And so we should solve some Banach value D-bar equation, which is bounded everywhere on the domain, and obtain solution which is also bounded everywhere on the domain. It is possible. There is some integral formula which solves it. The formula, of course, is in the scalar case. But if you do it just, you know, it's only kernel. It's only estimate for the kernel. If instead of scalar case, you consider Banach weighted function and consider Bochner integral, the same kind of estimates will produce your solution, and you are done. The same will be for the space K of functions which are continuous up to the bound. In this case, again, you can just on each convex domain you have such operator, and then you consider the cycle constructed with these local operators. You obtain some cycle with values in this operator class, and you should solve the bar equation with bounded data and with the values in the space of operators. Using another integral formula, you can do it a little bit different, and still you're solving. Okay. So for this one, the last thing that I would like to mention about H infinity. So actually, the approximation property for H infinity is equivalent to the following thing. Consider maximal ideal space of H infinity, and consider Banach valued function, which is defined on this maximal ideal, is such that it is holomorphic in the disk. The disk is inside of this maximal ideal. And, nothing else. Is it possible to approximate this function by scalar functions times elements of the Banach space? So, H infinity times element of the Banach space, like this. So this is just the question about approximation property. So if you can do it, then you're done. But it is not known. So what I proved that actually if you have a Banach valued function on the maximal ideal space, and I'll just consider it on a little bit smaller space, namely the space consisting of closures of interpolation sequences of H infinity. So consider any compact subset inside. So in some neighborhood of this subset, you can approximate it. The question is then, is it possible, it is equivalent to the bounded, equivalent to approximation property for H infinity. The question is whether it is possible to approximate such Banach valued function in the neighborhoods of closures of trivial Gleason parts of non-interpolating sequences. So in the neighborhoods of trivial Gleason parts. So trivial Gleason parts. It's just
the main problem here, because it's kind of singular part of maximal ideal space. For non-trivial Gaussian parts, they have very nice topological structure. It's kind of a vibration. And non-trivial, they are just bad, and you cannot proceed with analysis that I know, so you need just to use some other stuff. Okay? Thank you very much.